wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened our ear, and we've not been rebellious nor turned backward. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. Without your presence, as Moses said, how can we be distinguished from all other peoples on the earth? So it's by your presence that's here, that's touching hearts, opening ears to be able to hear things that maybe we never heard before. Father, I'd ask that your anointing would come upon our ears, that we'd be able to discern your voice, to be able to hear your voice and to understand what it is that you have to say. Father, we just want to get out of the way and let you just manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. And we give you all the glory, not a man, Lord God, but we give you all the glory because it's by your Spirit that we enter into eternity. And Father, that our name is written in the book of life and that you will call our name out one day. Well, we'll hear our name called out by your lips.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll give an account for our life. And we know and recognize that you have forgiven our sins. You won't even bring them up. But we will give an account. Did we complete the mission, our purpose, while we lived on this earth? And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we go deep within our hearts tonight, Lord, that we would think about that and contemplate that, and that we leave here with a new understanding of our mission. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got just a real short thing. I'm going to turn it over to X. If you've got your Bibles with you, open up to Isaiah 4. Isaiah 4. And you can, I'm going to start in Hosea, then I'm going to come back to that. They're two similar scriptures. And the first one is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you, the priestly nation, have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that there shall be no priest to me. And in Isaiah, similar things. It says, talks about, woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may pursue strong drink, who tarry late into the night till wine inflames them. We got nobody like that here. Used to be like that. Yeah. Did you ever just, when you were in college or whatever, or maybe after college, remember those days? But it's interesting, since they have the lyre, the harp, the tambourine, the flute, wine at their feasts, but they do not regard the deeds of the Lord, neither do they consider the operation of his hands in mercy and in judgment. But this is a key one to get to. Therefore, my people go into captivity to their enemies without knowing it, because they have no knowledge of God. And that's a pretty stern scripture, but we've heard that before, that, you know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so this is God talking about it, his kids, basically. And, you know, a lot of people believe in Jesus and they're going to be saved and they're going to be living for eternity, but they never really have found out about him. They've never really sought him. They've never really, you know, studied the Bible and really dug into really what it's saying about different things and understanding them. And so they get in periods of their life where they get boxed in, you know, and they can't break through. And it's difficult. And all of us are probably confronting some situation where we need some type of a breakthrough, where we feel like we're in some type of a stronghold. And that's life, because, you know, James talked about, as my favorite scripture I've been preaching now for 2 years, I think, that count it all joy when you encounter various trials, you know, knowing that the trial of your faith produces endurance, produces patience. In other words, it conforms you into the image of Jesus. So joy is really a power. And if we embrace that process, then we don't have to be sad in it. We don't have to be upset about it. And the series of events that come our way are all to conform us into his image. If we can get that revelation, then we'll be able to punch through these trials. But some people just don't know how. And so I just want to encourage you tonight that maybe God might say something to you tonight, how to break through. Maybe God might say something to you tonight of how to break a stronghold. Amen? And you can see it, just not just in the politics, but in the direction. It's like the wheat and the tares. There's a real polarization going on. But the Lord wants to reach everybody. He loves everybody. And, you know, he died for everybody, for all humanity. And we think about that, you know, if you put your life on the line for everybody, you'd want everybody to come and invite him to the marriage supper. So just want to encourage you. You know, some just takes, you know, these things didn't cost that much. And just went online, said, you know, if I could just have a little business card thing that I could just hand out, and some of them are catchy, and, you know, find out what you, you know, where you're at. But just something like that, just to reach out to other people, because hell's real.
Yeah.
It just really is. And I one of the things that kind of the Holy Spirit's really showing me about that, I don't like go home and say, show me about hell. It's just that it is real and many people go there. And you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy. It's incomprehensible. And if you just take the word and study the word on it, it is exactly what it says. And can you imagine being somewhere, and as soon as you're there, you know why you're there, you know you deserve to be there, and you know there's no way out. It's forever. And Jesus does not, God does not, everybody says, well, if such a loving God, why would he send anybody? He doesn't send anybody to hell. People choose to go there. And, sometimes this earth is the closest they're ever going to be to heaven. And without the Holy Spirit here, if he's removed, if we're removed, this is, you can imagine what's going to happen. So that's why we're living in such a critical time to really reach out to the lost. I mean, reach out to people that are around us. Be sensitive. You know, even if you're just on your knees praying, and don't give up. You see somebody, when God puts somebody in my heart, and I've been going after this one individual, I call it targeting, and just staying, and all of a sudden you'll get a breakthrough. Maybe even have a dream. God will give you a dream or whatever about the situation, but just don't give up. You might be the only person that's praying for them. And I started to realize as an individual, I said, I might be the only, maybe two people, there's a lot of people come from families, never went to church, never ever believed in God. And, there's so much stuff out there. And that's why people are looking for just a spiritual experience. And so we're living in those times. So we're anointed. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God residing within us. And we have the ability in the Spirit to make a difference and to charge the atmosphere with the power of God because we love people. And love is the key. I mean, there's a difference between, I got to love that person versus seeing it through the way the Lord sees them. And being able to pierce the darkness, to pierce the problems, to get right down to a heart and really see how God loves people. It unlocks the door. Just going to a restaurant or whatever. And the other day I was just in a restaurant and just there was a lady there. I knew I was supposed to pray for her. So, on the way out, whatever, and then took a trip to the hospital. I mean, there's just people that, you got an extra 10 minutes or whatever, take advantage of the time, And when you start to act like that, and that becomes your life, even if you're just going to work, bring that attitude in, that joy or whatever, bring the presence with you. And, encourage people and avoid the gossip. That's the one thing that you find so many places, you start talking about people and all of a sudden you find out you're assassinating them, and maybe they do deserve all the gossip in some ways, but it's better just to not say anything sometimes. I find myself, you get engaged in that, at workplaces, and even when I was working with the athletes, one person didn't get along with this person, this person had a lot of issues, and I knew they had a lot of issues, and I wanted to talk about their issues because they gave me a hard, it seems so trivial, but it's not. And I think one of the things that you're finding out, you've been asking the Lord to change you, and he's answering your prayer. And so there's things that he's like shining on our lives in ways that we just, it's like we want to change. We want to be more like him. And we want everybody else to enjoy that presence that we have. So I just want to encourage you. I have some envelopes back there for Xavier. He's going to Mexico. I said that right? Mexico. See. Yeah, that's my two. That's my kind of. See, you can correct me. But anyway, great investment. Okay, I've seen it into his life, and I've seen just awesome results. I mean, it's like, when I started out coaching, I had no idea it was going to ever go as far as it did, and I'm sure that, you never realized how far it was going to go, and it's just in its infancy. Oh, no, yes. So, that's just what's so cool, is that God is doing that with everybody here. So whatever you're doing in ministry, I don't care what age you are or how young you are or whatever, God can take you places, man. You can do things. I was talking to a brother yesterday who's really, it's really in a bad way. He had some amputations, and it was really in a bad way. And somehow I had said, Lord, you've got to give me some words to encourage him. I said, Dan, even if you can't move, you can pray in the Spirit. So as long as you got breath, man, just keep doing it, keep cranking it out. Amen. All right, well, let's go ahead and do some worship, and we'll take it from there.
One of the things that we see, at least for us, is that for many, we might see and look that we might be repeating this year or last year again. No, right now we are entering into the mid-February of a brand new year. And if you missed Thanksgiving last year, I'm reminding you it's tomorrow. So we are looking to how fast Thanksgiving is today that we look at it last year. And sometimes for us, when we look at and address things about our mind, I remember when I was in Miami working as an IT, and I was entering the year, struggling, because for me, the years will always repeat. They'll always be the same, even though things changed. And one of the co-workers came up to me, and he would tell me, you know, X, he goes, well, why is it that you're so grumpy? He goes, you're a grumpy old man. He goes, how old are you? He goes, that time I was 21. He goes, man, you're an old 21-year-old grump man. And I didn't know exactly what was happening. But I knew this, that every single year, it was just a repeat of the following. Every year, I realized I got up to a dead-end job that I hated, people that I didn't want to see, traffic I didn't want to be in, and all of a sudden, it just repeated, and I did not know that was an internal problem. I remember going and seeing, and one of my dear co-workers, he loved the New Year's. He would tell me, X, I'm preparing. I'm getting ready. He would wear the hat and everything. You know, he would come over with his gold tie saying, I'm going to be counting down. I'm excited. He goes, what do you know is going to be next year? I goes, I don't know what's going to be next year, X, but I know it's going to be better than this year. And I hated him because of that. I noted that inside of something inside, I knew that there was some type of problem, and I didn't know exactly what it was. And I had to figure out that the Lord wants us to go from glory to glory. He wants us to go to victory to victory. So what is it that holds us unto a year to repeat it all over again? I'll tell you what it is. It is our mental strongholds. Mental strongholds are today one of the most difficult areas that many, even Christians, deal with. Why? Because many of them are built, rooted from our upbringing that stays firm, and sometimes we ourselves cannot break. But the Bible tells us that these are an enemy that it brings in within negative thoughts. Strongholds are built within a framework of your mindset. Some of them, they are built there by other people. Things that your children or your even your parents that placed that seed that have taken root. Yet this negativity of the strongholds, you have to take it and kill it from its root. The Bible gives us illustration because God tells us, you know, I remember a man of God, famous man of God, once said that you cannot stop a bird from landing on your head, but you could stop the bird from building a nest. And yet every single thing that we do in our lives, if we allow it into our mind, if we don't cast that out, that bird, that seed, that negative word, or that even negative thought, if we're not careful, my dear friend, that thought will start building little roots, a little nest in our mind. So I went on that time to my dear pastor in that time. And I spoke to him. I said, Pastor, I got a problem. You see, every year I struggle because it becomes the same year and I do not know why. Every year, I deal with the same problem. Doesn't matter what I do different. I know that's internal. So as I confessed to him, he told me, okay, X, this is what we're going to do. We're going to meet at 6 in the morning. 6 in the morning, I'm already grumpy. You don't want me at 6 in the morning. He goes, see, we have to face this head on. So at 6 in the morning, I get there, and he goes to me, the first thing that we're going to understand is that you do have a sword to cut those roots. You see, you do not have to want unless you desire. But inside of us, if you want a breakthrough, you have to break from it. And we have a sword to cut those negative roots. Dude, you have to get a sword, and that sword is the Word of God. So we go to do one of the first things he tells me is that you have to recognize the enemy tactics. And then he tells me this. Discernment is the difference. It's knowing and be able to know the difference between what is truth and what is half-truth. Not the discernment of knowing what is good or bad. Even the atheists know what is good or bad. Discernment is knowing what is truth and what is half-truth. We know this because when Satan preached unto Jesus, he himself brought him the word of God, yet it was half-truth to the point that Jesus said and confronted him. He understood that is not the truth. Liar. Because that's not what the word says. And he brings in the truth of the word of God. Thus says the Lord. Thus says the word of God. And then he brings in to clarify that half-truth that Satan wants to approach. John 8, 44 tells us this. John 8, 44. You are of your father the devil and the desire of your father who you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. For when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the first thing that at least that pastor taught me was recognize the tactics. Recognize the lies that you already believe. Why is it that you believe that? Why is it that when you think about somebody or think about a place or even think about some particular race, why is it that you think that way? Why is it that you think you cannot? Then find out why is it that you cannot. Those tactics that the enemy places. The Bible tells us that Satan is the father of every lie, all lie. Everything that comes onto our mind that is a lie, you know that that is the father of it is Satan. Because he is the prince of the air, he will pump as many lies he can within the media. That's why we ourselves, when we look at it, we could feel if it's a lie or not. And if we're not careful, well, if you believe a lie to the point of truth, you'll believe it. So we'll get into that moment. I have to go and face the stronghold. We understand that every single one of us, every moment, as we believe it, we take it. And when you come to church, other people might not believe all the things that you might, because that's their upbringing. You think that, well, casserole here is casserole. This is what you eat. This is what we are going into an upbringing of a family tradition. But somebody else's tradition is different. Why? Because that's how we, well, that's where we were brought up. So we'll look at many things within this year. For me, the year was to be aware of the enemy's eyes. Why is it that today you're facing the same thing of last year? Why is it that we are confronting and battling the same type of tactics? Well, you have to ask yourself these questions. The Bible tells us that he is the father of all lies. So I had to have a homework and go back and have to write everything that I myself was believing. Why is it that I believe? Ask those questions. Why is it that we are doing the same thing? We are not a tree that we have to bear the same fruit. We have to uproot ourselves if we want a different fruit. So we have to find ourselves. Because not everything that goes into our mind, we know that is of God. So I came up to him and I told him, okay, Pastor, I have a whole list of things that I somewhat believed. Why is it that I believe this lie? One of them was because as a young kid, I remember I went to school. I was in my third grade, and my teacher at that time, when I went to every student to go to the front, say some sentences and write. So I went up to the front. And because I was dealing with my speech, I wrote it correctly, but I mispronounced it. So my teacher, in that moment, she mispronounced it the same way that I did. And she made all the peers laugh. And I turned around, and I was 9 years old, and I felt like I wanted the floor to swallow me, how embarrassing and humiliating it was. And he goes, go sit down. He goes, you don't know how to talk. Well, I went to go sit down, and I chose not to talk in her class The whole entire year after that, my mother was telling me, son, why is it that you're not participating? The teacher says you're not participating because, well, I did not want to talk because I did not want to get embarrassed, humiliated. Well, she flunked me. And it came to a point that through that, I battled a lie in my mind saying that I couldn't speak. And he battled, and I took it to the other grade in fourth and fifth, to the point that in sixth grade, I had to go to two different types of speech because I believed a lie that I could not speak. Today, coming out of that, well, even my accent, if you haven't noticed, I got one. And yet, with that type of accent, I have an accent in both of my languages that I speak. In Spanish, I preach. And in English, I preach, but I have an accent. Right now, you hear me, and some of you think I just arrived 2 weeks ago. But when I preach in Spanish, they think I'm from Oklahoma. So you think that and that. But yet, because I believed that lie, it quieted me, and I did not move forward in it. I had to confront that lie, saying that is a lie, and choose to come against it. Why? Because if I didn't go against it, I wouldn't be here preaching the Word of God. So we had to look at it. The second lesson of the second day we met, 6 o'clock, he told me, okay, X, this is what you're going to do. Now you have to confront it head on. Confront it head on. Why is that? Because, well, you cannot defeat something you cannot confront. You keep walking away from it, it'll continue being there. You keep going around it, it'll stay there. The strongholds in our mind, they're built a frame. Look at it like a castle, something that is rooted with cement. Well, the Bible tells us that the actual scripture is the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, 4 and 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself. Against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of God. Strongholds, you cannot bring them down in one day because they were not built in one day. So you have to look at it as this. What can bring down a mental stronghold? I'll tell you this, a wrecking ball. If you use the Word of God as a wrecking ball, each time that you open up the scriptures and you read and you read and you study, each time that you go against that, all of a sudden the Word of God becomes that wrecking ball and it hits that stronghold, that mental stronghold, that mental stronghold. So my pastor told me, listen, you want this lie to be defeated? Look into the scriptures and use the scriptures to come against it and confront it. We know how to do that. You know why I know we need to do that? You go to a doctor and he tells you, you got a spot in your liver. So what do? You go home and you Google it. What is this spot in my liver? So what do you do? Well, for many, that negativity is actually building the cement within the framework of the strong, of that mind. But if instead you use AI as you were supposed to and say, AI, give me all scriptures of healing, promises of God in the Word of God. I want come out and bring all the scriptures about what is the promise of His resurrection. Tell me in the Bible and bring everything from the old covenant to the new covenant, from the blood of Jesus to His name. I want you to build everything into one. And when you build it, all of a sudden, you just repeat it. Now say it to me. And I'll tell you, it will speak it. We'll speak it. All of us that would like to listen, well, you can listen to music that strengthens that stronghold, or you listen to the Word of God, and each time you're just driving, and you're driving. You know why? Because do we argue in the car by ourselves? Yes, we do. And if we could argue by ourselves in the car, then we could use the Word of God as a wrecking ball and just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. And all of a sudden, this Word of God becomes a wrecking ball hitting the side of the stronghold and the frame. And the frame, it doesn't go down the same day. It doesn't go down by a rebuke and a prayer. It doesn't go down because you go to church. It doesn't go down because you fasted. You know how it goes down? It goes down when you destroy it with the Word of God. And all of a sudden, it might take 2 weeks. It might take 2 months. It might take several months. But as long as you hit it with the word of God daily, it will crack the side of the stronghold. And it becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. And then when you wake up the following day saying, oh, I can't. I don't know if I could do it. All of a sudden, built inside of you, you've been building so much within that crack that the light of Christ has come into that stronghold. And says, be quiet, because yes, you can do it. And all things through Christ that strengthens you. In his name, there's power. All of a sudden, you're telling yourself, and you start arguing with yourself. Stop talking like that. Stop talking like that. You know better than that. You know better. Because why? I remember when I was doing this, there was no internet that you could Google it. No AI, no smartphones. So I had to use the Strongs. You know what I'm talking about, the Strongs? That Strong could hit a concussion with your stronghold in your mind. Yet, we have to look at it and believe it, that these strongholds do not have to be there. They don't have to be there. We have to use the word of God as our spiritual weapon. Pray in tongues. When we go into scripture and then just read it, place it. Maybe you say, well, it takes a long time for me to study. Then there are, because of technology, we could utilize it. You think Satan is a fool? Is not using technology? Of course it is. It's going into the ears of our children. It's going through the television in your living room. He's using technology to build the frames. But we could do the same thing. And put scriptures, and use all other man and woman of God who bring in the word of God and just play it loud and let it hit from the both sides and weaken that strongholds in our mind. Because we think that some strongholds is only for those that don't know Jesus. That's not true. And we look at it, we see it, and we have to actively. The Bible tells us we have to cast it down. We have to act upon it. If you look at the stronghold, you identify it. Once you identify, you could face it. But we have to identify it first. If you don't know that that is bothering you, then you will know. Because sometimes we could get comfortable being uncomfortable. But if you choose not to be uncomfortable, if you choose, you know what, I want to get out of this poverty because your family was brought up in poverty, then break that poverty spirit. Break that generational or poverty mindset, that stronghold that you cannot move forward. Wait, hold on. I could and build and bring my family completely different. Oh, because my generation, they bring all this sickness because the DNA. Well, you know what? The blood of Jesus will give you a brand new DNA. So you have to build it and come against it, but you have to first face it. I remember the first time that Mercy and I got invited when we moved to Miami, from Miami to South Carolina. We got invited to a church in Winsboro, South Carolina. It was the first time we got together and we drove to that church. I remember we were outside and I got up there and to preach. I stood up in the altar and I just looked. It was all elderly people. My goodness. It looked like a cotton field, all white hair everywhere going around the Bible. So I got up and I started to preach the gospel. And still here and there, I used humor just to soften. And nobody laughed. Nobody said, well, maybe they didn't understand my, you know, I know that it's Southern, but man, it's English. But nothing. After preaching, I asked for prayer. Nobody came to the front. So I prayed, I thanked the pastor, and the deacon came up to me and says, the pastor says to wait for him outside. I said, okay. So I went outside in the parking lot. After 15 minutes, this is a Sunday afternoon, I am soaked. Mercy, Matthew, my son, was in a stroller. He was a year and a half. And I said, nah, it's too, they're not coming out. So I put the car AC on. I put Mercy and the babe in the car. And I said, okay, because they didn't know which car we were in. I said, I'm going to go outside and wait. So I went. Now, back then, I used to preach in a suit and a tie because I thought that was preachers. I had to look. Thank God. So I go outside. I move my tie. I take out my tie. I take out my suit. And I'm soaked of sweat. After another 20 minutes, all of a sudden, the same deacon comes out. He gives me an envelope. And I said, what happened? Where is the pastor? He said, I'm sorry. They're all having a meeting there. He says, thank you for coming. So I get in the car and I call my friend who coordinated this. And I say, what's going on? What happened? He goes, X, the deal is that You see, they were having a meeting inside. And they were having a meeting about you. He goes, what is it? They didn't like the preaching? Did I offend them? He goes, no, the deal is that that church has been operating for 100 years. And you're the first Hispanic Latin who preached in that church. I said, and? He goes, see, you don't understand next. They did not want you there. These are grown, mature Christians who have racism on their mind. The Bible tells us that Satan is a lie, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Do not think or be fooled thinking that we ourselves, just because we have 30 years going to church, we do not have strongholds in our mind. We sure did, because they did. So what is it? How is it that we ourselves could face it? On the last time we got together, I asked the pastor, I said, okay, this is your third 6 o'clock meeting in the morning. Last one. So make it count, pastor. He goes to me, X, now knowing that you have first identified the lie. If you have identified, you could do the second step, which is confront it with the word of God and hit it as much as you can until you crack the foundation and the side of the stronghold. But after it is destroyed, you have to look and focus on those ruins and remove it completely with the blood of Christ by focusing with the abundance of the life of Jesus. If we focus on the true life of Christ, we could then build something else on it. It doesn't have to be a stronghold. It could be literally a tree that bears fruit of the Spirit. John 10:10 tells us this, as the thief goes out and accepts to steal and kill and destroy, yet those that have life, that they may have it more abundantly. More abundantly. So if you start looking at scriptures to say, Lord, you give me an abundant life, all of a sudden you start building on that same land, that same piece of real estate in our mind. What the framework was, now you understand you cannot delete a habit. You have to replace a habit. If you've been doing something constantly, you built strong on it. By destroying that stronghold, now you have to replace it. And how you replace it? By focusing on the life that Christ has given you. For those that built that church that was built with a framework of racism, instead of saying, praise God, there's somebody here that speaks another language. Well, praise God, in 100 years, there's a Latin preacher that will join us. What do you think heaven's going to look like? Heaven's going to look with blacks and whites and Asians, and there's going to be different colors, different races, everything. The only same thing we're going to have in common is all of us are going to talk in Spanish. But besides that, it's going to be different. All of us are going to look at the beauty of God. Why? Because we are of His creation. He built you His image. He built me His image. And we have to look at it as you built on it. You have to build that truth and replace it. Replace it and build on it. So I went to God and I told them, okay, I knew it. So it was already entering the new year. I'm getting ready. I did my whole list. I had a whole legal pad. Those of us who know legal pad, okay, the yellow one, that holy, I had a whole, every single lie. And next to the lie, I had a truth to hit it with it. So I'll go and I start repeating it. I remember I'll take it to the job. And at my break time, I'll open up and I had the legal pad. The lie that I believed and the truth. And every single day, I'll hit it like a wrecking ball. I said, no, I cannot speak. Yes, I could speak. And I will speak and be an oracle for God. All of a sudden, I said, no, this is a poverty. My whole entire family, behold, it's going to be poverty. No, it's not. You know why? Because Jesus Christ have given me the power to create wealth all of a sudden. I said, no, because my family, there's a history of illness and sickness. No, because by His stripes, I'm healed. And I started repeating it and became more and more and more aggressive, that I became more aggressive even in my prayer. And all of a sudden, my coworker came in and he was telling me, X, there's a problem with the server. And I'm in the middle of the prayer. And I'm like, you lying devil, get out of my mind. And he goes, whoa, okay, I'll fix it. You know, and you have to look at it. But we have to be that aggressive. We have to be aggressive and go against it and face it head on. Why? Because as long as Satan could corner us and make us believe a lie, we cannot enjoy the truth that was already given to us. And I told you, my friend, when he told me that, I went home and we had a get together with my family. It was the New Year's, and I could see the time already. It was just a couple minutes before the New Year. And I've been working, cracking the foundations of the strongholds with the truth of the Word of God. And I was getting ready. I took a little piece, of cracker, and I had some grape juice. And I said, I'm going to take the Holy Communion. Because the Bible tells me each time I take the Holy Communion, I remember his death and every promise that's attached to it. So I remember it was about to be midnight. All my cousins and my aunts and my parents all there. And I said, I'm going to the bathroom. And I'm going to the bathroom. My mom said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the bathroom. And she goes, hold it. I go, no, I'm not going to hold it. And I went to the bathroom. And I closed the door. And I got in my knees. And when I got on my knees, I took that little piece of bread. I said, Father, you told us that this bread is your body. And I take every promise from the cross. Everything that you gave me according to the word of God, I take it now. And I took it. And then after that, I said, this is the cup, which is your blood that washes all sins away. I'm not going to live and repeat the same thing. You have washed it today. And all this ruins of the strongholds will be wiped completely off. And I took it, and then I prayed. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I began with a statement, Satan, you must remember, it is written. Just as Satan tried to lie to Jesus with half a truth of scripture, it is written. I have to remind, it is written. X, it is written. It is written. And I start to build and know the truth of God. And when I ask Ezra to join me, we have to look into the prayers of these manifestations of God's word and believe that his truth will always be with us. Today, we are already in the middle of the second month of the new year. But for many of us, we have entered into a repeated year. And for us, God does not want us to do that. It must be a new year in your same job. It's a new year with your same family. It's a new year with your same city. It's a new year every day. And it could be a new year after you lost your job. It could be a new year after you received the report from the doctor. You don't have to wait until January 1st. It could start a new year when the moment that you feel a stronghold is being built. No, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I don't should not have fear because he is my provider and he will give me another job. The sickness that the doctor says, he, the Lord, has the final word. That new year starts whenever you decide to go against a stronghold and use the word of God as a wrecking ball. Because when it does crack, it will not stay strong. We just have to be consistent. 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 Use everything we can. Use technology. Use consistent. Consistent. And hit it with everything you got. With the word of God. Because when it crumbles, I tell you, my dear friend, you realize that inside was hollow the whole entire time. And Satan had no power over us. Satan cannot stop you from reaching what God has assigned you to do. Because if he could have stopped you, he would have stopped us when we got born again. But he couldn't. And because he couldn't stop us from being born again, he's not going to stop us from reaching our destination. So break that hollow stronghold with the wrecking ball of the Word of God. Amen. Please stand with me. We're going to pray right now in the name of Jesus. We're going to come against that. We're going to come against that right now. We're going to come against every single lying spirit that has placed their lies to strengthen a lie that we have believed. And we're going to believe the word of God. So break that.
And even if today you could say, well, Exodus, I don't know how what's going to happen when I leave. Is it going to be completely gone? We're going to believe it. But if it's not, at least you know how to face it. Because there are some habits that we ourselves have to break that have been there for many years. And that only happens with the word of God. So we're going to pray right now. And we're going to go after that. We're going to ask. I'm going to ask Pastor Todd to be joining me and the team. And we're going to be praying for anyone that needs prayer. But in that moment, right now where you are, you cannot confront if you do not know the lie. So today we're going to pray that the Lord will reveal. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, open my eyes. Open my eyes. What is it that I have believed? What is the lies that I have allowed to master my decisions? What is it that my parents have placed? What is it that other religions have placed? What is it that I have believed that have built as a stronghold in my life? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, in this moment for your Spirit. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll grant us wisdom. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes to see the strongholds in our mind. Our mental strongholds that have been placed there by the wicked one, by lies of enemies, of unclean spirits that we have lied and have allowed it to establish and place in our mind. We come against it with the word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now that through your word, there is power available through Jesus Christ and the word of God to become that wrecking ball. We ask, Lord, that you recognize those lies as we come against it and confront it. And we say, we have recognized the enemy's lies and we rebuke it and cancel it. We command every grip of the enemy of our minds to be loosened right now in Jesus' name. And we tell you, right, it is written. It is written. Jesus, teach us what is of the spiritual weapons that you gave us with your word to destroy every single lie that's established. We commit to this new year and ask you to guide us and protect us. We ask you that this new year will be a new flourishing, that we will remove the things that will produce the same constant evil of the truth of your word. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, in this moment, we come against every lie that we have believed and we rebuke it from our mind. That your word becomes truth to that wrecking ball to crack the foundation of those lies. And, Father, that we will know who we are in Christ, that we are the head and not the tail, that we are victorious, that we are your people, chosen, that there's no condemnation, that even our sins that we have repented from the past are washed by the blood of Jesus. Satan, we remind you that there's power in the blood of Christ. That there's power in his name. That you will not lie to us to cease or develop. But we will stay rooted in Christ. And that we are victorious in Jesus. That his word is truth and we will build from it. And now those ruins of your lies we will build with the word of God. And Jesus, that your light will shine in us and through us. That this year will be greater. That this year will be better. That this year will be fruitful. That this year will find the grace of your love. That there's no condemnation. That this year will find a grace above our understanding. That this year our faith will be intimate in our relationship with you. Because there's nothing that could come between you and us, Lord. Thank you for dying and resurrecting. Thank you, because in your name we are victorious. Thank you, because now we're going to face our mental stronghold and they shall come down. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All of us. To have the knowledge of knowing how to break down a stronghold is so incredible. And as I was reading beforehand, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You've got the knowledge now. As taken at the wrecking ball, that'll never leave me. It was identifying exactly the strongholds that I'm confronting. and gave me the exact way to how to go about it. And it's going to take some consistency. Like he said, these things don't just happen overnight. Sometimes things, God just moves right away, but there are other things that we've got to do. And I just want to encourage you, God has given you the knowledge tonight to pull down strongholds. And you can pass that on to somebody else, because there's somebody else that needs to be able to do this. And I just really appreciate it. I just feel strongly, if you need prayer tonight, we're going to stay up here. It doesn't matter how long, just come on up. We'll pray for you. And others, if you feel like you got other people need to be prayed for, you just do what you got to do. Amen? Amen? Lord, we just thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. This essence, this revelation, Lord God, that has come from your throne room tonight would go so deep within our hearts, Lord God, so deep within our spirits, Lord, that we would never forget it. Lord, it says that your word comes in us, Lord God, and it says that you come and you water it, but you cause the growth. Lord, I just ask that you'd water this seed in every vessel that came here tonight, God, that they would leave here knowing for sure that they have been touched to their very core by your presence and by your spirit, that they will not be the same ever again. They came in one way, Lord, and they went out a different way, stronger, more focused, with more grace than they've ever had before. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And we just worship your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.